place, and we thought that we would, we found this old picture of Jasper with Jesus. We thought we'd include that in our slide deck. But yeah, so grace, when you hear the word grace, because it has like multiple meanings, like what's something, the first thing that comes to your mind, you can just shout it out, like what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Undeserved gift.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
Forgiveness.
Love. Forgiveness. What?
Love.
Love, okay. Let me get one more.
Sacrifice.
What about like, okay, yeah. Okay. See, I interpret, I guess it's because we just listened to a lesson on that. I've interpreted it so different. So like when I, the first thing I thought of when I think of grace is like figure skaters. I don't know why. Yeah, because it has so many different meanings. You can interpret it in different ways. I just think of figure skaters, right? Because like figure skaters, they have to like do things flawlessly, be super graceful. If they mess up once, they're done. And so I tried to get some like visual aids. Like I tried to find pictures of figure skaters in the middle of their routines. So I found a couple actually that were a lot funnier than the actual graceful ones. I thought this was really funny. loving that guy right there. Okay, his face. Used to. Yeah. So, what is grace? It's a good question. Thanks for asking, Jessica. Grace is, like, from the lesson we heard, it's kind of a little bit more complicated than just answering it in one sentence, right? So I kind of wanted to answer it with an illustration, okay? So imagine with me that this scenario is real, okay? We know it's fake. And I just want to point out, if it's real, these people are the worst. He's recording it on his phone. So yeah, let's imagine, okay, this dude, like, is just about to sock this woman in the face, okay? And let's assume she survives. So, like, if she showed him kindness would be, you know, I'm not going to press charges, you know? Even though I want to take your money and replace all my teeth, I'm not going to press charges. So that's, like, kindness. Okay, I'm not going to press charges. Grace is more like, I'm not going to press charges. I also forgive you, and I want to have you come over to my house, and I want to talk about what's going on. Like, what is, like, going on inside of you? Like, I don't know why you did that. Like, let's kind of get to the matter of things. So, yeah, now we're going to look at a passage that talks about grace in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You guys want to turn there? It's in my backpack. Whoa, you're like right there. This book one. Okay. So it says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Then Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave both their debts. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So, grace, right? This is the dictionary definition of grace. The free, unmerited favor of God is manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. And we, from this passage, we're pretty sharp. We can clearly see, like, the story of grace. You know, like, okay, so sin is like the debt, and, you know, her debt being cleared is like, you know, forgiveness of sins. And this woman, we can kind of fit what happened with her into this definition, right? She was shown free unmerited favor of God. She got the salvation of her sins. And she was bestowed with blessings. But I want to take this a little bit deeper. Like, exactly what blessings did she receive? We see that she got forgiveness of sins, but what exact blessings did she receive? And I want to give you an illustration that really helped me to understand grace. So just stick with me and kind of go along. It's kind of a different one. But we know from other scriptures like these that she received more blessings than just her sins being forgiven, right? Yeah. And these are, there's a study on the five heavenly crowns. So these crowns are promised to disciples of Jesus. And they have each scripture that goes down. I'm going to read each scripture. Okay, so for the imperishable crown, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown, and the crown of rejoicing. For what is our hope, our joy, or our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? And you have the crown of righteousness. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. The crown of glory. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And then finally, the crown of life. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." So from the scripture we read earlier, this woman is actually promised all these crowns. She's given the forgiveness of her sins. Her life has completely changed. Mm-hmm. In amazing ways. She went from being an enemy of God, okay, we know that from Romans 5, to a child of God. And Jesus is like, you know, okay, like imagine if Jesus just gave you one crown, you'd be like, oh my gosh, thank you, this is amazing. But he's like, no, I'm going to give you 5 crowns, which just kind of blows it out of the water, mm-hmm. right? Just heaps those mm-hmm. blessings, like we saw in the definition of grace. Mm-hmm. And it kind of changes the way that we look at Scripture a bit. Like if we put it into terms, in human terms, like in our modern day, Jesus is kind of, it's like Jesus saying, no, you owe me $10 million, right? I trusted you with money, you made some bad business deals, and you're $10 million in debt, okay? But hey, you know what? You don't have to pay me back. In fact, I'm going to give you $10 billion, but I'm not going to give you one. I'm going to give you 5 of them. I'm going to give you 5 $10 billion. Maybe $50 billion. It's like riches that are kind of incomprehensible, right? That's the point I'm trying to make. Like, you can't in your lifetime count $50 billion. It's kind of a number that's kind of, you have to imagine it. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the riches that God promises. Yeah. So she was promised these 5 crowns. She went from an enemy of God to a child of God, from a sinful wretch to being lavished as royalty and promised 5 heavenly crowns. But the grace of God is not understood right here. Here is where the grace of God lies. Disciples of Jesus are promised these 5 spiritual crowns because of the fact that our Savior took this one. This is the grace of God. Now, we know in this scripture that there's a Pharisee and then there's a woman. And who needed grace in this scripture? They both did, right? They both, in that analogy, they both were in debt. They both needed their debts canceled. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty interesting, right? Like a Pharisee, kind of a guy who's been trained in the law, you know, trained in all things God, like memorized scriptures, lived his whole life to kind of be sinless and stuff like that. But he was still in debt, you know. It's like that scripture that Greg showed, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter, like, all mm-hmm. have done that, right? And then what's the end of that scripture? Can you quote it? Can anybody quote it? But are justified freely by the grace, justified freely by his grace given through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And who in this story walked away with their sins forgiven? Mm-hmm. It was a woman. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why? Because, I think this is a funny picture. because the Pharisee thought he was all good, right? Yeah. The Pharisee did not believe he was in debt, okay? Mm-hmm. He was completely oblivious to the reality of his situation. Whether or not you actually like it, I'm just going to break some news to you. Whether or not you like it, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Whether or not you even believe it, this is the reality of the situation, okay? So it's like, I can believe that these cabinets aren't brown. I can believe they're gray, right? But the reality is the brown.
Yeah.
And this is the reality of the situation. If you are not a disciple of Jesus, you are in debt. Mm. And it doesn't matter how much. These numbers are, it's to help us kind of understand, mm-hmm. right? But you have to give an account for that at the end of your life. We all do. And this is just the reality of the situation, whether we like it or not. And that's the truth of the matter. So this is the question. So what are you going to do about it? If you are not a disciple of Jesus, like what are you going to do about it? You know, you see all these rich blessings that God has promised, right? And this tiny study on these five spiritual crowns, this is just one that I really like that kind of helped me understand grace, right? Yeah. You're lavished with grace mm-hmm. when you give your life to Jesus.
Yeah.
The blessings that God gives us are incomprehensibly great. Like, you would be a fool not to take this, yeah. right? If somebody's offering you $50 billion, let's go back to one.
Right.
Would you not be a fool to be like, no, I'm good. Like, that's like foolish.
Yeah.
That's just complete foolishness, right? And if you're not living for Jesus, you know, what are you living for? You know, like
right.
if you're offered something where you'll be lavished as royalty or not, you'll be nothing at the end. Like, which one are you going to go for?
Yeah.
On one side, you have the grace of God. And on the other side, you have the judgment of the world. There's the complete judgment of the world, the coldness of the world. And this is where my part ends. And Austin's going to start talking a little more and go a little bit deeper into that point.
Come on,
thanks for
awesome.
Yeah. Thanks,
one perfect. All right, well, it's awesome to be with you guys. I love just the diversity in this room. This was a class originally for teens, but now we have some campus singles sprinkled in. Come on, we got some marrieds, young marrieds. We have some elders here. Elders, got Pedro Figueroa, awesome teacher in the San Diego church. Well, I'm excited to be teaching about the topic of grace today. This is a really huge topic that is misunderstood in the world, and specifically I'm going to talk about the grace of Jesus versus the judgment of the world, separating these two things. Because there's a monumental difference, and it's easy to miss. And so to really put ourselves inside this story right here, I kind of want to kind of modernize it. And so imagine, we just had a congregational teen event down in downtown San Diego. You guys remember that last week after church? We had volleyball, we had pizza. I want you guys to imagine that one of your classmates or one of your friends who just had a terrible reputation. You know, this person maybe was into drugs at school. Maybe this person dressed poorly. Maybe they were just a little bit awkward. And this person hears about the congregational teen event, and they hear Jeremy Melcher Post, the Jeremy Melcher Post, youth and family leader of San Diego, is going to be at this congregational event. And they hear, you know, how great of a guy he is. He's awesome. And so this person comes running over to the event and starts diving at Jeremy's feet, takes off his socks and shoes, and starts crying on them and wiping his feet with her hair.
Wow.
Let me ask you guys, what are some of the things that you'd be feeling if you saw this? You can say them out loud. What are some of the things you'd be feeling if you saw this? I just heard what the heck I heard of you. Right? Just laughter, confusion. Maybe you're a little bit afraid. Like, who is this person? Like, a local lunatic or something? No. Who knows? But now I want you to imagine this 2,000 years ago. And this is a completely different time. This is a time where women were scolded just for talking to other men outside their own family, their husbands and their sons, right? Yeah. Or women that were scorned for even letting their hair down, like this woman does. And she comes storming into this Pharisee's house, a member of the upper class back in Palestine, and she just starts just weeping on his guest's feet. That would be a little bit uncomfortable at the least, right? And can you imagine when she sees Jesus, she's probably like just looking around the corner, like, is that him? Is that him? You know, just waiting, trying to build up the bravery. Can you imagine the bravery that she's trying to build up because of that? Because she's going to be judged when she goes in there. All those people inside there on that table, they're looking at her.
Yeah.
And people probably stare at her. She's like, this is a weirdo. This person's a little bit off their nut. They're a little freaky, right? Mm-hmm. And so not only this, but they knew that she was a prostitute. If you notice, Jesus doesn't say that she's one, and she never claims to be a prostitute. Only the writer Luke and the Pharisee know that she's a prostitute. Which means what? It means that she's probably roaming around town and she has a reputation for this profession. Mm-hmm. And to be really honest with you guys, I probably would have been one of those people that was judgmental. I probably would have had one of those looks on their face. Confusion, mm-hmm. Probably laughter, maybe just a little bit uncomfortable, maybe angry. I bet you some of these guys were angry. Mm-hmm. And this is what we have. We have the attitude of the world, the epitome of it. If you guys can look in Luke 7, we're going to go to verse 39, if you can turn there with me really quickly. My mouth is dry. All right. In verse 39, in Luke chapter 7, it says, "When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner.'" You see, this is the world right here would condemn her. She's a prostitute. She's disgusting. Why are you letting her touch you? Jesus, women aren't even supposed to be here at all. There's not supposed to be any woman in this house when you're my guest. It's different. And this woman was defined by two things, essentially. You have her past mistakes, her reputation, and just who she was, her gender. Mm-hmm. All she was her past mistakes and her gender to these Pharisees. I have a clicker. I need to go to my computer. And this is how we see things today. This is how we see people in past mistakes today. See, Tiger Woods used to be the best golfer, Tiger Woods right there on the magazine, the best golfer of all time. And everybody knew he was passing Jack Nicklaus records, Arnold Palmer, all these famous golfers. Now this was all he was known for.
Yeah.
He cheated on his wife with several women, and that's all people knew him as now, adulterer, cheater, liar. That's it. If you think about Tiger Woods, and you see in all the magazines too, they're just throwing it out there. People, Inquirer, all these, they just want to get it out. This is how we judge people in the world.
Yeah.
Yep. Look at Lindsay Lohan. If you're a child of the 90s like me, you know Lindsay Lohan is the Parent Trap girl. She's not this yet. Or Herbie, the one with the slug bug, right? But this is her now. If I searched Google Images, I could find practically nothing of her in Parent Trap. This is what you have now. Rehab pictures and drug pictures. That's it. And then you have people just judging based off appearance. Check out this tweet. This is a little bit unbelievable. "Muslim means terrorist in Arab. Read some book and educate yourself." And that's a little bit ironic because grammatically it's incorrect. But anyway, but these are like examples of just practically how your world, your teen's world, your campus, Mary's world, doesn't matter. This is the example of judgment in the world right now and how they publicize it. And guess what? The world doesn't need any more of this. This generalizing, all this nonsense. People need Jesus. And so you might be asking, well, what does Jesus do exactly? You know, what distinguishes him from the judgment of the world? Well, let's go back to the scripture in verse 44 of Luke chapter 7. Get some water. All right, verse 44, it says, "Then Jesus turned towards the woman and said to Simon," that's the Pharisee, he said, "Do you see this woman?" Let's just stop there for a second. I think Jesus is being hilariously sarcastic here. What else is anybody going to look at in the room besides this woman who's crying on somebody's feet and wiping his feet with her hair? But then he does something special. He does something really tactful. It says, "I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet." Now back then, that was a sign of hospitality. "But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair."
Yeah.
Then she looks at him again. "You didn't give me a kiss," which was a sign of respect back in that time. "But this woman, from the time I entered, she has never stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head," another sign of respect and gratitude, "but she poured perfume on my feet." And so what Jesus is doing very subtly is he's slowly contrasting these people. Not on their appearance, though. That's the world. That's what they do.
Right.
Jesus is separating them and contrasting them by their hearts, excuse me.
Yeah.
And so when he does this, he's being he's not looking at the exterior, the surface, none of that. What he's looking at is their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2 Samuel 16:7, I love this scripture. This is the NLT. It says, "The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them." The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them.
Mm-hmm.
People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the Pharisee, he was judging by what he saw. But all Jesus was concerned about is this woman's heart. What was this woman's heart?
Mm-hmm.
It was sincere.
Yeah.
It was sorry for what she was doing. It was one that knew that Jesus was the only person, especially in this room, but in the whole world, that would ever accept her for her truest self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so these questions were all kind of formatted for teens. But now that we have kind of a sprinkled audience, how do you care more about how people look, or do you look at the heart of people? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah.
When people make mistakes, are you quick to show them what they did wrong? Or are you looking at the heart behind it? What's going on inside them?
Mm.
Because I don't think anybody in this room would want people to look at them that way, the way the Pharisee looked at them, or at the woman. You know, people want to feel safe and accepted naturally. They don't want to have to worry about what everybody else is thinking about them. That is just a constant fear and just threat to your heart. And I know forgiveness can be really tough, especially this woman. When you think about it, Jesus was extending grace to a woman that nailed him to the cross just like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was like a story. I was reading about a story about someone in Cleveland, Ohio. And there was a man who got into a massive fight with his girlfriend. And it was so troublesome to him that he decided that he was going to get on Facebook Live and that he was going to go and the first person he saw, or one of the first people he talked to, he was going to get a gun and he was going to shoot him. And he recorded it on Facebook Live. And so he goes up to a gas station. He approaches about an older man, like 70 or 80. And he walks up to this man. He says, "Can you please read this font on my phone?" And it's the name of the woman, and he reads it, and the man says, "It's because of this woman that you're going to die right now." Pulls out a gun, shoots him right in the face.
Yeah.
Point blank. And you'd think that this was something just completely unforgivable. There's no way, especially for the friends and family, there's no way that this guy's going to be forgiven. Nonsense. Never happened. I want to look real fast. We actually had the family's reaction. It was recorded on CNN, so I want to take a look at that really fast.
We desire to see our Father, some of us.
It's a hard decision to make.
Just to let them know we're here.
We haven't been able to see him yet, since they took him away yesterday evening. We haven't been able to look at our Father at all. And alas, we heard they had not even finished
the autopsy. They haven't finished his autopsy, and it's just heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
I just want to just rub his hair or something.
Yeah.
Well, we can't right now, and we understand that it's a vacation. Investigation, but
yes.
The thing that I would take away the most from my Father is he taught us about God, how to fear God, how to love God, and how to forgive.
Yes.
And each one of us forgive the killer, the murderer.
You do.
We want to wrap our arms around him.
We absolutely do. We don't. I honestly can say right now that I hold no animosity against in my heart against this man.
It's pretty incredible, isn't it? And so, this is amazing, especially the interviewer, Anderson Cooper. He doesn't even get it. Says, you do? Why? What distinguishes these people from the rest of the world? Well, it's what their father taught them. It's this thing that, you know, the forgiveness of God surpasses any trespass. It's unbelievable. And I want to challenge you. A lot of people in here, they have a tough time connecting with this because a lot of us are either raised in the church or we live a life that's not close to this guy. This guy, what he did was pretty heinous. And you might be saying, well, Austin, I never kill anyone. I've never come close. And to that, I would say that is the exact attitude of the Pharisee. Mm-hmm. The Pharisee had the attitude that, you know, this person, she did what she did, or this man did what he did. And, you know, I go to a synagogue, or I go to church, or I, you know, I don't do anything like this. But like Corey said, there's either debt or no debt.
Yeah.
The amount doesn't matter. A lot or a little. Doesn't matter. You have debt or you don't. I even think about myself. I never did anything close to what this guy did. Never did anything like the woman. But you know what? In high school, mistreated woman. In college, got drunk all the time at ASU. Stole things from people's dorms. I even think in high school, I just hated my brother so much. Sometimes I seriously thought I wanted to kill him. I was just so fed up with what he was doing, and I had extremely evil thoughts. And I always had these things in the back of my mind, but you know what was amazing is I got to see the grace more of Jesus in this story, and I thought about this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Corey and I used to have this hanging up in our apartment. It says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. When does it end? Never. It never ends. What does that look like? I don't know. It's infinite. His mercies never cease, ever. It says, great is his faithfulness, his mercies. And I like to think mercy could be synonymous for grace. It begins fresh each and every morning.
Amen.
And so, Jesus is just concerned about the heart. Where are you right now? Right now. He didn't care about this woman's past. Where was your heart? Where is it now? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Jesus is always eager to extend grace. It says every single morning, Jesus is ready to extend grace. Mm-hmm. And so I want to leave you with this. Now that you know more about Jesus' grace, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to respond? Are you going to respond to your debt? Are you going to respond to the crowns that you get? Or are you just going to leave that all behind? But if you can grasp this each and every morning, that the faithful love of the Lord never ends, you'll have understood the goal of grace. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I love you guys with all my heart. God bless you. Jeremy, go ahead.
Awesome.